On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
I was at 7-10 without Aaron.
Without Aaron.
And I have us 11-6 with Aaron.
That's a big difference, bud.
That's called three letters.
Yeah.
H-O-F. So that'll get you. That'll get you a few more wins. Again,
that's the difference between postseason.
Oh, no doubt. Well, that's also the difference in getting a
Hall of Fame
high draft pick.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
A good point by Ben there at the end. Reasonable folks have argued that if the Steelers stink this year, that could be the best thing that happens for them. But I want to focus on the record prediction portion of that, and Ben saying three little letters, H-O-F. I happen to agree with Ben. I have the Steelers at 10-7 with Rodgers. I have them at 6-11 with Mason Rudolph. And I'm going to throw a disclaimer out there before all you Rudolph-loving sycophants out there come into my mentions. I love Mason. I think he's a great backup quarterback. I think if he starts for 17 games, he'll get overexposed. Ben says HOF, Hall of Fame. Here's where I'll quibble with Ben. I do agree that he's worth like four more wins than Mason Rudolph. He ain't a Hall of Famer anymore, though. He ain't that. But he doesn't need to be. Well, I've heard people on this station like Pony say, how about a three-letter word, O-L-D? Pony's not wrong. Rodgers is old. Rodgers was far from great last year. You know what he is, though? For my money, and ultimately their money, because he's going to make more than Mason Rudolph, he's a better player than that guy. And if he's an above-average quarterback, that can lead the Steelers to 10-7. You know how I know that? Because that's all they've had the last couple of years. Even some below-average, maybe a lot of below-average quarterback play, and they've finished with a winning record. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be better than what Russell Wilson wound up being. Guys, Justin Fields and Russell Wilson got them to 10 wins last year. I think it's a better roster right now. And so if you even add a quarterback that's an ounce better than what they had last year, isn't it fair to think that they could wind up with a similar record? 412-928-9370. I'll disagree with Ben. Rodgers is no longer playing quarterback at the level of a Hall of Fame quarterback. That was redundant. He's no longer playing like prime Aaron Rodgers, not by a long shot. But isn't he still good enough? Aren't they still good enough to get to 10 wins with that guy? And unless you want them to tank, shouldn't you want to roster the better player? 412-928-9370. Someone texts in, once you're a Hall of Famer, you're always one. That's like being a Marine, right? You never say, oh, that guy's a former Marine. No, you're a Marine for life. Yeah, Rodgers will be in the Hall of Fame. He's not playing quarterback at a Hall of Fame level. But again, he doesn't have to. We have yet to see Caleb Johnson play a snap at the running back position in the NFL. But I think he's going to be better than Najee Harris. He's more explosive. Forget the 40 time. Just watch the tape. Look at some of the advanced data. He was clocked at going 22 miles per hour last year. Only a handful of NFL players ran that fast. We're clocked at going that fast last season. He's a better scheme fit. I think you're better at running back. You've got Kenneth Gainwell. I take him 100 times out of 100 over what you had at Cordarrelle Patterson last year. DK Metcalf is a better player than George Pickens in half, if not more. I did it bad there. He's nowhere near the distraction that George Pickens was. So you're better there. I happen to think they're going to add another wide receiver. That guy will be better than Van Jefferson. Defensively, you've added You've added the first round pick to the fold. You've added Y.A. Black. Darius Slay is a better player than Dante Jackson was. I think this roster is better than last year's. And I think Aaron Rodgers is better than what they had under center last year. He doesn't need to be a Hall of Famer. He just needs to be better than what they had, and he needs to be better than what's in the quarterback room right now. And what's in the quarterback room right now is a sixth-round pick, a guy who played terribly with the Titans last year in Mason Rudolph, and Skylar Thompson, who I think is a bad NFL quarterback and a bad backup quarterback. Rodgers doesn't need to be a Hall of Famer. They don't need him to be. They need him to be better than Russ. They need him to be better than Fields. They need him to be better than Mason Rudolph. And he is. So unless you want the Steelers to tank, why would you say no to Rodgers? 412-928-9370. So that means all y'all tankers out there, don't call me right now. I love you. Don't call me. If you don't want the Steelers to tank, what is the reasonable argument for wanting Mason Rudolph to be the guy instead of Aaron Rodgers? I've yet to hear one of those takes that convinces me. 412-928-9370. Texter writes in, over the hill for Aaron Rodgers. I don't know that he's quite over the hill. I saw what he did down the stretch last year, and it was better than what Russell Wilson gave you. Again, he's not great. Doesn't have to be. They won games with Kenny Pickett. 14-10 they went with that guy. Mason Rudolph ain't doing that, I don't think, over 24 games. I just don't. Why would you rather have Rudolph than Rodgers? And your answer can't be tanking. 412-928-9370. We'll take your calls, texts, and tweets coming up next. Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. TrustPJ.com. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. So we'll talk to you about this coming up next. Someone that I know also completed one of the most amazing feats of strength I have ever heard of. We'll tell you what that is. Jeff Hathorn's at the bottom of the hour.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
I know a dude, he works for Sports Illustrated. He just completed one of the most amazing feats of physical strength and endurance that I have ever heard. 10,000 consecutive days running at least a mile. And it's been a lot more than that. That is insane to me. As someone who doesn't enjoy running, and I realize that there are a lot of people out there who do, that is wild. I don't think there's anything in my life that I love enough, seriously, to do 10,000 days in a row. Like, even sex, you're going to get tired. Yeah, take a night off. Load management. Edward in Maryland wants to talk about Rodgers and Rudolph because it's May 21st, and that's what we're talking about. Hi, Edward.
Hello.
What's up?
I'm just trying to understand why you feel that Aaron would be the best fit. I think it would be a good idea to just give Mason a chance. I don't think Tomlin ever really did that. And I don't really see what Aaron Rodgers really did last year. I mean, I just don't think that he's going to be that much of an improvement over Russ last year or Justin Fields. I mean, obviously, I would rather have Justin Fields.
You don't think Rodgers is an improvement over Rudolph?
At this point, I mean, I heard you say that he didn't do well in Tennessee last year, but I don't think they really worked with him. I don't think that Tennessee is very good at all. And I think if he, by him coming in early in training camp and getting chemistry with the players, I think he would do fine. I think he did fine taking us into the playoffs when he was here with us. I mean, I would just rather go with Mason myself.
And I get liking Mason because he works hard and he's a good guy, and I believe him to be a good guy. I've had some interactions with him, and I happen to like the dude. I'll be clear on this. Mason Rudolph could have been working with DK Metcalf and Calvin Austin and Roman Wilson and Pat Freiermuth every day of his life since he's been born, and that does not make him a better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers ain't even close to what he used to be. But the league told us how it feels about Mason Rudolph when the best offer he could get I'm guessing, because that's the one he accepted, was with the Pittsburgh Steelers, 2 years, $8 million. Good backup quarterbacks make like $10 million. I mean, I think Sam Darnold last year made 10, I want to say 15. Gardner Minshew signed a 2 year, $20 million deal. Mason Rudolph getting 2 for $8, $4 million a season. Nobody wanted this guy. Now, I think he's better than that. I do think he's a good backup quarterback. Everyone always references what he did a couple of years ago and how well he played for that 3-game stretch. And it's the best quarterback play, arguably, that we saw since Ben Roethlisberger's retirement. I'm not going to pretend like I didn't watch it with my own two eyes. But the final game of the season in the monsoon against Baltimore, he wasn't exactly great. And in the playoff game, he threw a costly red zone interception. So even that, I think, gets romanticized to an extent. Like, guys, Mason Rudolph just ain't that good. And Rodgers ain't what he used to be. But ain't what he used to be still better than ain't that good. And Rudolph ain't that good. 412-928-9370. If you want to weigh in on that conversation. I agree and disagree with what Ben Roethlisberger said on his podcast. Ben has them at 11-6 with Aaron Rodgers. And he has them with a losing record with Mason Rudolph. I've got him at 10-7 with Rodgers. I have him at 6-11 with Rudolph. What makes you disagree with me? What would make you disagree with Ben if you think Mason gives them a better chance to win? 412-928-9370. And I know that Tennessee stinks. The caller made a good point. I mean, that offensive line was arguably the worst in the NFL. My God, look at the skill position players. But watch the games. He didn't play well. Good quarterbacks elevate. He just ain't a good quarterback, not a starter. And I think we would all see that if Mason was finally, quote unquote, given the chance to play 17 games. Like, good quarterbacks that are backups, what do? They come in, they play well for a spell. You know, Charlie Batch, come in, win you a game. Byron Leftwich, come in, win you a game. Dennis Dixon, come in, win you a game. That's what good backup quarterbacks do. Josh Dobbs, not last year, right, but the year before. Oh my God, this guy's outstanding. No, he's a good backup quarterback that presents a wrinkle because he can run. Good backups come in, they look the part. It's like a great bench player in baseball, like Craig Wilson. Let's get in the Wayback Machine. Craig Wilson was an outstanding pinch hitter. He was just tremendous at it. He starts playing every day. You realize, not so good. Rob Mikowiak, pretty good utility guy. We'll never forget what he did to those Cubs in that doubleheader. You make that guy a regular player, everyday player, you get overexposed. I think Aaron Rodgers leads you to more wins because Mason Rudolph, if he plays more than 3 games, he's getting overexposed. Jeff Hathorn, by the way, our sports director, going to join us in 10 minutes. I'm interested in how all the Jared Jones stuff went down, so we'll talk to him about that, among other things. Right now, Dave in the car joins us. Hi, Dave. Good morning to you, pal.
Good morning, sir. How are you guys doing this morning?
Oh, we're peachy.
Listen, the Aaron Rodgers scenario, I hope, does not come to fruition here in Pittsburgh. And the reason why I say that is because I want to see how Arthur Smith's offense truly runs. That will not happen with Aaron Smith being here, augmenting, not wanting motion on the line, all that jazz. I truly believe that he could be that stopgap for about the first 4 or 5 games, and we follow the trend that we did last year. Tootle the young man up that we got from Ohio State, and then see what he can do. Next year, we put him up against whoever we pick up in the draft if this young man don't shine like Roethlisberger did back in the day.
All right, Dave.
And I'll land my play. Yes, sir.
You made 2 good points there, and I really appreciate the call, and I hope you have a wonderful day. If Rodgers doesn't come here, you are one hit away from Will Howard being your starting quarterback, and a lot of Steelers fans want to see that. I'm not there, but a lot of Steelers fans love Will Howard. Chris Carter was tweeting about it yesterday from the Post-Gazette that he liked him as a 4th-round quarterback. And so the Steelers got great value by taking him in the sixth round, but now Steelers fans think he's the next Ben Roethlisberger or Will Allen. Will Allen, I said. Josh Allen. I can't get there. I think Will Howard has a chance to be a great backup quarterback for a long time, but I can't get there on him being the anointed one, the next one. But that's a reasonable take, I guess, from Dave, who says, hey, if there's no Rodgers, you could see Will Howard. That's a reasonable point. And I've talked so much that I forgot his other one. At 412-928-9370. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Perhaps it's because I was at Hofbrauhaus House last night doing a remote. Someone texts in, Crowley, I think you could do 10,000 consecutive days of consuming at least one beer. Nah, man. People think I'm this party guy because I went to WVU and because I've talked about like peeing in showers and stuff after weddings. I don't drink that much. I really don't. And I had a beer yesterday at Hofbra, and those are, I mean, they're good. And they're potent. And I woke up today and I had a headache because I'm old. So I think 10,000 consecutive days of beer would probably break me. I think 2 consecutive days of beer anymore would break me. Jeff Hathorne is going to save me from myself coming up next. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. We got bad news with Jared Jones yesterday, but there's a little silver lining in there. How'd this all go down? We'll talk to Jeff about that, among other things, when we...
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Come back. All right, I had a brain fart in the last segment. So that caller who rang us up for reasons why he wants to see Rudolph instead of Rodgers, he gave 2 reasons. One, he wanted to see Rudolph run the Arthur Smith offense. And I think that's a good point. Like, you're not going to see that offense with Rodgers. And the other was, hey, if Rudolph's QB1, that means you're only one hit away from my guy, Will Howard, getting in there. All right, let's talk about the Pirates. Jeff Hathorne joins us now, our sports director. Jeff, good morning to you, buddy. How you doing today?
I'm good. How are you, Adam?
I'm good. I think we actually got a little bit of good news regarding Jared Jones yesterday. I mean, we all knew, based on John Parado's reporting, that surgery was coming for Jared Jones, but it's not Tommy John surgery, and 10 to 12-month recovery is a lot better than, what, 15 to 18 months?
It is. It is. And they were very, you know, Todd Tomczyk, who's the director of sports medicine, made it very clear that, listen, I've told you guys when it's Tommy John, this isn't Tommy John. I don't know the difference. I mean, an elbow surgery is an elbow, but he mentioned like elbow forearm. So maybe the tear or the injury is more up, you know, towards the hand than what you normally have. I don't know, but 10 months, hell, 10 months gets you to the start of the season. I mean, that's a whole different prognosis than what everybody was thinking of him missing 2 years. And then, as you know, as Dan Zangrilli has pointed out very astutely, 2027 is up in the air, at least right now, given the what could be a lockout of players and what could be a very contentious CBA.
Yeah, which I hadn't thought about. So not seeing Jared Jones pitch for 3 years would be a very, very bad thing. Not just for fans, yes, but my God, obviously for Jared Jones. Now, the way the Pirates put it out there, go ahead, Jeff. Sorry.
No, and I wanted to explain this because I asked Todd this because I wanted him to explain how it works, because I think people immediately kill the Pirates. Why didn't he just have the surgery right away? They can't force a player to have surgery. They could recommend it. They could sit down with it. And the way he described it is Jared mentally wasn't ready to admit or give up on the fact that he might be able to get through this. Like, maybe I'm different. And if the player's head isn't there, a team can't say, well, it doesn't matter, you got to have surgery. And they tried some very slow rehab, and then he was out throwing the other day, and it was just, I think he finally came to the realization that, okay, I can't do that. But the team can't force that. It's up to the player to decide, you know, on having surgery. So that it's such a different thing than I think the perception of, well, why didn't the Pirates just, you know, have the surgery then? Well, it's not their call.
Yeah, I think the preset is just people want to get mad at the Pirates about anything, but
there's a lot of reasons to. This isn't one of them.
I would agree with that, Jeff. This is not one of those reasons. I mean, I'm sure you've had surgery. I've had surgery. Tunch used to say all the time, the only minor surgery is one that's not being performed on you. So if I could have the choice between rehabbing or going under the knife, 100 times out of 100, I'm trying to do the rehab side of things.
And Adam, I'll tell you, like after my surgery, my fastball got right back up to 65 miles an hour.
I think I got clocked throwing out that first pitch, Jeff, at 55 miles per hour. How about that?
Dude, I did, when I was younger and we went to one of those carnival things and I was there with the date and they're like, oh, try the speed pitch. I'm like, all right, and you never timed your pitches.
No.
And it came up like 65 and I was like, oh man.
What do we think the average, that is embarrassing. I would have thrown not as hard as that. What do we think the average American male throws in terms of his fastball velocity?
Judging by social media, 120.
That's right. Jeff.
But the reality would probably be somewhere around, I don't know, 60?
Yeah, I feel like 65 is probably above 65? Average. Jeff Skeens throws hard, and he's great friends with Jared Jones, and he sees what just happened to his buddy. Does he worry about the arm injuries? Is this affecting him? How is this affecting him? I'm guessing. I know he talks today, but I mean, you're around the ballpark and around him all the time. How is this landing on him?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it hits him because here's what really hit is when we came back on Monday and like his locker was gone, like the nameplate is gone. And I mean, that's, it happens in every locker room when something like that happens, but it's just like, wow. Like he's,
there's like a finality to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think for Paul that hits, I don't think pitchers can go through and have that mentality of worrying. And I think Paul, with all of those routines that we see, puts himself in the best position. And the other thing with Paul, and I'm not saying Jared necessarily does this, but you watch him throw, how much comes from the legs.
Right.
Like old school guys like me will tell you, look at Nolan Ryan. He threw a no-hitter at 44 and threw 150 pitches. Well, that's because he used his legs. It wasn't an arm action as much as it was a leg action. And I think if you watch Skeens, so much of that is driven by the legs, which, you know, knock on wood, would help him in these circumstances.
It does, if it's possible, look effortless. And he was throwing it 100 again the other day, and it just explodes out of his hand, and he's got those massive tree trunk legs.
Clemens was the same way.
Yeah. A lot of people...
He may have had some help.
He did, allegedly, yeah. Andy Pettit admitted that he did it, and he wound up being better for it, but now I digress. Jeff, a lot of people have been speaking on behalf of Paul Skeens, particularly when it comes to the national baseball media. Like, oh, this guy can't be happy. And we all saw the shot of him at the end of the game. He goes the distance. He loses 1-0. And he looked crestfallen. I mean, in that moment, yeah. I mean, does he dislike it here? I mean, best to your understanding? Because a lot of people want to seem to put words in his mouth. And I guess I'm asking you to do the same thing. But you're actually around him all the time.
He dislikes losing.
Yeah.
Period. No matter where he's at. But he has that mindset that military mindset of, all right, let's go attack the next day. You know, those things aren't going to linger as much with Paul as it might with, you know, someone with the mindset of like a George Pickens, someone that's really emotional and can't handle when bad things happen to them. Paul, I think, is a different dude than that. I think he can handle that. Seeing the last couple of games and seeing wins, he understands the importance of teamwork. You know, if you're in the military, you try to help the weakest link. You don't rip it. You don't cause strife internally. And I think Paul has that type of mindset. I mean, ultimately, if he likes the Pirates or not will be based on whether the team wins or not. They're never going to be able to offer him what other teams do. But if he enjoys it while his time is here, he enjoys it because it's winning and he's seeing the effort. And the one thing we have seen with Donnie as the manager, the little things are done a lot better. Like, we haven't seen those fundamental gaffes. We've seen hitting the cutoff man. We've seen communication in the field. I mean, we haven't seen those mistakes that we saw previously. I think that's an advantage. We've also seen him ride the hot young hand. I mean, Tommy Pham started yesterday, had a couple of hits, had a nice play in the outfield. But we've seen Canario get a chance when he showed that he could hit. Man, they found opportunities for him to play, and they did yesterday by putting him in right field. So I think Skeens would see some of that. But again, ultimately, we'll see how the season plays out. But I will tell you this. He's not walking around the dugout or the clubhouse with his head down wondering, why am I here? That's just not his mentality.
On the topic of playing the hot guy, I mean, put Hank Davis back in there again, Jeff. That's the best he's looked at any point in his major league career. He goes 2-for-2. The defense has improved leaps and bounds. I think they owe it to themselves, the administration, to play him as much as possible. And this is a guy who does work his tail off, and I think you still need to see what you have in your 1-1 guy.
Both their catchers, I mean, are there endless hours. I mean, he and Bart are there all the time. But Henry Davis is a better catcher than Bart, period.
Yes.
I mean, and I don't know how close it is. I mean, he is the best catcher. If they could have a scenario where, you know, they've got this weird log jam with McCutcheon and trying to give Reynolds a day off his feet and Bart in this DH situation that I think makes it difficult to try to make all of it work. The thing with Bart is he's been their most consistent hitter, but he has one home run.
I know,
they
power,
need to find somebody that's going to give them power. Yeah, and they don't have that.
It's so weird to me to see that with Bart too, Jeff, because the batting average is up there, and relative to everybody else, my God, he's Ty Cobb. But what's he got, 7 extra base hits this season? It's very bizarre. Anyway.
Yeah, and you know, the one guy who can give them that power, O'Neill Cruz, just hasn't quite dialed it in. He hit a ball really hard yesterday on a liner to the outfield. And I thought, okay, maybe this is a sign of him, because the absolute biggest difference when the Pirates offense is when Cruz is going. When Cruz is going, everything changes. And when he's not going, that's part of what we've been seeing.
Jeff, they could make history tonight. They would go 27 consecutive games without scoring more than 4 runs. We'll see if it happens. I'll have my eyes on it. We appreciate the time, buddy.
Thanks, Adam. By the way, imagine if you're in Cincinnati right now. You lost a series to the Pirates when the Pirates scored 5 runs.
That's right. They've been
crazy.
If not for the Pirates' offensive struggles, I mean, there's some weird red stats this year, too. I think they lost 3 consecutive 1-0 games. It's been frustrating for them, too, but I ain't crying in my beer over it. Jeff, thanks, buddy.
No.
We'll talk to you
on
Tuesday.
Yep.
You're the man, Jeff Hathorn. Check out more of Jeff's stuff on 937thefan.com. Texter writes in with a really good idea that we could maybe do at the 5-alarm marathon. We'll tell you what that is next, and we'll predict whether or not the Pirates will make history tonight when they take on the Brewers at 6:40. All right, 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Pirates, Brewers tonight. If the Pirates fail to score 5 runs, it'll be 27 consecutive games of offensive futility. They're tied for the record right now. They will break the record. Last time 26-game streak happened was in 1971, before that 1939. Hold on to your butts, folks. We could witness history tonight. Or they could merely just be tied for history. And I think they got a shot. I think tonight might be the night they score 5 runs, folks. Because you got Mike Burrows on the mound for the Pirates, which is great. Excited to see this guy. He's a 2.78 ERA in AAA. 41 strikeouts in 32 innings. It's not Bubba Chandler, but I'll take whatever they give me, and I'll take Mike Burrows. For the Brewers, TBD. Oh, I love a good TBD. We going to get a bullpen game? They going to make a weird call-up, some random scrub? I like the Pirates' chances tonight against TBD. Texter brought up, when Jeff and I were talking about how hard we could throw, which is not hard at all, that at the 5-alarm marathon, we should have a contest to see who on the Fan throws a baseball the hardest. Now, I think it comes down to Mackey and Callis. I think Mackey probably wins out because he was a college pitcher. But if you take those two guys out of the equation, I think it's probably Pony. Did he play in high school? I was the sixth best player on my sixth grade baseball team, but I have a candy arm, so it ain't me. I don't think it's Mulsey. I think it would be Pony. I think Pony would throw the hardest. By the way, the 2025 Fan 5 Alarm t-shirts are available online. You can go to KeystoneCustomApparel.com, get your commemorative shirt. They're really cool. Portion of the proceeds, of course, benefit local volunteer fire departments. Last year's shirts were cool. This year's shirts are cool. All right, we'll talk to Ian's tomorrow at 5:40. The aforementioned Jason Mackey, he will be joining the program. You got Pomp and Joe coming up next. Goodbye. Oh, but first, Harry. But first, fan weather. I almost forgot. Brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Rain all day. Should taper off around first pitch time for the Bucks. 55 degrees the high today. That's also as hard as I can throw. 55 miles an hour. All right, now goodbye. Talk to you tomorrow.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.